Robert to the floor to present her statement.
Thank you very much indeed. Just over a month ago, I reported to the Human Rights Council in Geneva on the human rights, election and democratic space in Cambodia. The recommendations in that report and addendum I would reiterate here today. I have now completed my sixth visit to Cambodia in my role as UN Special Rapporteur, and I would like to thank the Royal Government of Cambodia for its invitation to visit and acknowledge the cooperation of so many government ministers meeting with me during my mission. I would also like to thank the staff at OHCHR here in Phnom Penh and also in Geneva for supporting my mission this time. During this mission, I had the privilege of meeting with a number of Deputy Prime Ministers and Senior Government Ministers, and I also met with various non-governmental organisations, representatives of civil society, the UN country team, and diplomatic missions based in Cambodia. I would like to take the opportunity to clarify my mandate. My mandate is decided by the states in the UN Human Rights Council. It is not related to the Memorandum of Understanding, which renewed the mandate of the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights in Cambodia. When I am on mission, I am very ably and competently supported by OHCHR, but our roles are quite distinct and quite different. For this mission, I decided to focus on the Sustainable Development Goals. Why? Because at the moment, Cambodia is finalising their localisation plan for the Sustainable Development Goals, and they're also finalising their National Strategic Development Plan in order to pursue the vision of Cambodia graduating as a high-income country by 2050. To help guide it, the government has adopted the Rectangular Strategy Phase 4, and I would urge the government to swiftly publish the Sustainable Development Goals plan so it's clearer the targets and indicators being pursued in Cambodia. The promotion and protection of human rights is a critical element of all these strategies and plans, and indeed for Vision 2050. For example, the Rectangular Strategy has at its core good governance. And good governance requires strong and open institutions that function in accordance with human rights standards, including access to information, transparency, public participation in decision-making, the accountability of office bearers and civil servants, and access to justice, supported by a free press and vibrant, free and innovative civil society. Human rights principles underpin all of these sustainable development goals and development strategies. Participation, equality and non-discrimination, and accountability. When analysing the targets and indicators in the Sustainable Development Goals, particularly Goal 16 on peace, justice and strong institutions, I am reminded of the many recommendations I have previously made on land rights, on independence of the judiciary and access to justice, on political rights, the prison system, access to services, and non-discrimination. And I have had the opportunity to revisit many of these issues during my mission. To better evaluate the Sustainable Development Goals, I focused on three cross-cutting themes: accountability, participation, and leaving no one behind. So first, participation. The Sustainable Development Goals and human rights standards require meaningful participation in governance and development. Participation is required at the formal level in terms of the right to vote and stand for election, but also through means such as participation in the development, implementation, and monitoring of laws, policies, and budgets. I was encouraged by the participatory process of producing the current draft law on access to information and on developing the legal aid policy. I also welcome the initiative of the Ministry of Interior to consult with civil society. And I would encourage the working group to adopt clear, transparent methods of work and to be inclusive in the range of organisations it will consult with. Over the last year, I have received numerous reports of civil society activities being stopped and hindered in terms of the Ministry of Interior instruction of October 2017, which required civil society organisations to give prior notification of their activities. I warmly welcome the fact that yesterday the Minister of Interior was clear and unequivocal that the new instruction issued by the Ministry to sub-national authorities on the 31st of October takes the place of the October 2017 instruction. This new instruction reminds local authorities that both associations and NGOs registered under LANGO, as well as unregistered local grassroots communities, have full freedoms and rights to conduct all their activities in accordance with Cambodian laws. And I urge the government, the Ministry of Interior, to take all necessary measures to ensure the full and proper implementation of this new instruction at all levels, and also to ensure compliance with the law on peaceful demonstrations and the implementing guidelines thereon. Nevertheless, I am aware that civil society organisations still face considerable burdens complying with requirements under LANGO, the trade union laws, tax regulations, and a variety of other laws and requirements. I therefore encourage the government to undertake a review of the applicable legislative and administrative framework in consultation with civil society and indeed the UN, and to ensure that the regulations and laws meet their aim without being unduly burdensome, and also that they are applied transparently and fairly. Moving on to the second cross-cutting theme, accountability. The Sustainable Development Goals and human rights standards require accountability in the form of promoting transparency and integrity in decision-making, information and budgets, combating bribery and corruption, ensuring independence of the judiciary and impartiality, promoting responsible leadership, and ensuring equal access to justice for all. In this regard, I strongly encourage the government to include robust plans, targets, and indicators in its Sustainable Development Goal 16 localisation plan. Access to justice requires trials within a reasonable time, and I remain concerned at the time taken to conduct trials and the significant number of people in pre-trial detention. I therefore repeat my recommendations to use pre-trial detention only when absolutely necessary in accordance with the terms of the Cambodian Criminal Procedure Code, to carefully document the use of pre-trial detention, and to regularly review the ongoing need in each individual case for detention. I do note the royal pardon of several convicted persons, including opposition figures, although I am concerned about the convictions with suspended sentences in yet another case against Thet Vani, as well as in the cases of the staff and former staff members of the NGO Ad Hoc. I also remain concerned that Kem Sokat is detained under judicial supervision with his rights and freedoms curtailed more than 14 months after his arrest, and that includes more than a year in prison. I call for the lifting of the sentences against Thet Vani and the Ad Hoc staff and former staff members. And I also remain concerned about the charges pending against the former RFA journalists. I also call for the release of Kem Sokat from restricted detention and urge the swift conclusion of the investigation in his case to ensure that his right to a trial within a reasonable time based on a clear and transparent evaluation of the evidence can be undertaken or the charges dropped. Transparent and accountable institutions are necessary to achieve good governance, so I welcome the one-stop service windows at the sub-national level and the creation of the posts of ombudspersons to receive and address complaints relative to public services. I also found my discussions with the Minister of Economic and Finance related to performance budgeting and the requirement of line ministries to submit clear budget plans for their expenditures encouraging. However, more measures and more efforts are needed, especially on independence and impartiality of the judiciary. I therefore call upon the Ministry of Justice to ensure that all court-related fees are posted visibly in courts in such a way that they cannot be removed. I also ask the Ministry of Justice and Judicial Institutions to be more transparent in relation to their operations, including the criteria used to decide on the promotion and transfer of judges and prosecutors, and I ask for more active steps to combat corruption. This would strengthen the independence and impartiality in the perception of the judiciary. For accountability, data and evidence is required. Data and evidence provides the means to hold institutions accountable and to ensure that policies and programmes are helping all, including those most likely to be left behind. I therefore met with the Ministry of Planning and the National Institute of Statistics and highlighted the importance of disaggregated data. It's essential for the Sustainable Development Goals that the data will prove what is happening to the majority of the population, but also around the peripheries to those most likely to be left behind. I also note that Cambodia will be held to account for human rights in the UN when it undergoes universal periodic review, in which other member states in the UN can ask questions and make recommendations based on the implementation of human rights in this country. And that will occur in January next year. And Cambodia will also be submitting a voluntary national report of progress under the Sustainable Development Goals to the UN's high-level political forum in July. So there's other opportunities for accountability at the international level. Thirdly, and finally, looking at the cross-cutting theme of leaving no one behind. The spirit of the Sustainable Development Goals is often summarised by this overarching pledge that no one will be left behind. This echoes the human rights norm of non-discrimination. In previous missions, I have focused on marginalised groups and reported to the UN Human Rights Council on people vulnerable to being left behind. Children, migrants, women, drug users with dependency issues, prisoners, ethnic minorities, Indigenous peoples, persons with disabilities. I've also highlighted the risk of grounds of discrimination intersecting, magnifying the barriers and heightening the challenge of being left behind. Cambodia must take steps to empower marginalised groups and remove all discrimination. Even during my meetings, I was struck by the lack of women in senior government posts when I held meetings across so many different ministries and institutions. Last week, I undertook a field visit to Kampong Chhnang province to investigate the provincial authorities' plans for relocating almost 10,000 people living in floating villages onto permanent land sites. This engages a diverse range of human rights issues and a number of complex interlinking sustainable development goals. Some of the affected people are amongst the poorest in the region, and a large proportion do not have identification documents granting them appropriate access to basic services and rights. Whilst I have visited many relocation sites in Cambodia over the years, these have often been connected with economic land concessions or major development initiatives. This is the first time I have visited sites on reclaimed land where the community is moving from water to land. I did visit one site with good progress towards providing appropriate infrastructure for the people moving to land, roads, a marketplace, water, sanitation, electricity. And note that the provincial authorities are working in partnership with a private company on this. Other relocation areas, for example in Schnocktroo and Dambuk-Coco, are considerably less developed. And the water is even receding from the resettlement sites without there being appropriate sanitation, water provided for the communities. Concerns expressed by people from many of the floating communities I met echo those I have heard on past visions looking at economic land concessions and relocation. I urge the government to improve the ways in which it addresses the complex issues of land rights through more transparency, fairness, and by ensuring a holistic approach to settling land disputes and when considering and implementing relocation. Only through this would no one be left behind. In conclusion, this mission comes at an important juncture. With the Rectangular Strategy Phase 4 recently adopted and the Cambodian Sustainable Development Goals Framework and National Strategic Development Plan being developed and finalised. If Cambodia is to continue on its path of sustainable economic growth, it needs a government that reflects the will of the people, institutions that respond to people's rights, and people with the necessary skills, voice, and access to services to participate actively in development and society. This means keeping human rights at the heart of national strategies for sustainable development and durable peace. The Constitution, human rights standards, and the Sustainable Development Goals provide the means to do so. Thank you.